Hey, Rudy, you know anybody over at Uniglobe Meatpacking?
Sure.
What do you think of them?
I think they're a fine bunch.
Really?
They'll slit your throat for a nickel. Nothing personal, they just want the extra nickel. I sold cattle to them for years. More important, I know their type. They are the meanest, toughest sons of bitches, and they're proud of it. But that's nothing new. My granddad went up against the meat packers in 1919, testified in Congress about their price fixing. And after that, none of them would buy his cattle. UMP and all the rest tried to run him out of the business.
Okay, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, and the big packers are even worse today. They're even bigger today.
Really?
And meaner. Hell, old Dwight D. Eisenhower would have shut them down. He wouldn't have stood with their crap.
Do you think they would knowingly sell us contaminated meat?
Oh, come on. Workers are getting their arms cut off over there. You don't know who you're dealing with.
No, I don't. Please, help me. I was at the plant. It seemed clean to me.
They show you the kill floor?
I don't know. I saw a lot of things.
You'd remember. You see any cattle getting their heads cut off? Were you walking ankle deep in blood?
No.
So they didn't show you a damn thing.
Okay, but how would cow manure get into the meat?
Rita, Mr. Henderson here would like to know if the meat over there is clean. He wants to know how cow manure could ever possibly wind up in his hamburger.
Well, there's lots of ways. My brother used to work at the gut table, and, you know, they have to pull out the intestines and the stomachs. And they just don't have enough time to do it right. The line is moving too fast. So when they're pulling the guts out, and they make a mistake, all the poop and stuff just pours out all over the meat.
Okay. Really, how often does that happen?
Every day.
This isn't about good people versus bad people. It's about the machine that's taken over this country. It's like something out of science fiction. The land, the cattle, human beings, this machine don't give a shit. Pennies a pound. That's all it cares about. A few more pennies a pound. By the way, Don, you seem like a nice fella, but the food your company sells is crap, even when there isn't manure in it.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to My Life as a Foodie. Got a good show today, man.
Yeah?
Don's joining us.
I'm here.
Thanks, dude.
Yep. Back for one more.
We're talking about fast food today, because we're a fast food nation.
Yes, we are.
And this was your brainchild. It was your brainchild.
In a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah, we were at lunch one day, and he goes, you know what you do? Do a show about, like, what your secret passion is. Like, everybody...
Not secret passion, more like a guilty pleasure.
That's it, basically. Yeah. It's like, it's a secret, because you don't want anyone to know right. You're having this crap.
Exactly.
Everybody does it. Listen, we all have to admit this.
Sure.
We all do it.
Absolutely.
All right? I'm not saying that we make a habit of it, but sooner or later, whether you're f***ed up, you're drunk, you're stoned, or you're just craving some crap.
Yeah.
And you have that.
Yeah. A lot of times it's more like... For me personally, it's more like when I'm flying in. If I've been out of the country for a while.
Right.
And you're eating a lot of foreign food, which is all, you know, a bit good.
Sure.
But there are certain things that you just...
You crave.
Crave.
Right.
Food, just familiar flavors.
And it's okay to crave those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody does it. Like, when I say everybody, I mean like Alice Waters.
Yeah.
She does it. She may not tell you she does it, but she does.
It.
She might be at a drive-in right now.
That's
She's going to the drive-thru Burger King.
Yeah.
She's having herself a Whopper.
I can see her as a Sonic girl.
Can you?
Yeah.
Well, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Right on.
A lot of audio. A lot of topics to cover. What's killing me is Dude Food. I appreciate all the support of Dude Food. The chicken wing episode had a great response. But it's killing me because I'm doing a Dude Food, and then 2 weeks later, My Life is a Foodie. Then 2 weeks later, Dude Food. So you're getting one Dude Food a month and one My Life is a Foodie.
That's a busy schedule.
I'm hoping that it's not killing the show because this has been the gravy train.
I can't see it.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of people are asking about iTunes. Why is Dude Food not on iTunes? There are a number of reasons why. I can't tell you what those are, but if you really want to have the shows on your iPod, go to mylifeasafoodie.com. We've got a little tab across the top that says Dude Food. Click on that. I'm actually organizing all Dude Food episodes in this one page. They're on the site as well, but they're organized here. And you can click on the video and go to the Vimeo page for that video. You can see it in larger format. You can see it in high resolution. And on the right-hand side of that page, underneath the video, it says download original file or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So you can either download the MP4 or download the M4V file for your iPod.
Perfect.
It's all in high definition, and you can download it there. So if you do want to watch it on your iPod, that's the way to do it. We just right now can't put it on iTunes. We need to have a beer.
Okay.
You're here.
Yes.
And every time you're here, we have to have a beer. But today is a very special day.
Good.
We are able to feature a beer from our good friend Rick Sellers and Peter Huey, who started their own brewery, Odonata.
Wow.
I talked about this before.
Yeah.
And I finally got a chance to get my hands on one of their beers. And we're going to have it here. It's the Odonata Saison. I got the beer
through... He sent it to a mutual location.
Some channels. Yes. I was able to finagle it because I worked on their website. And he wanted to make sure I got a hold of this beer. So not only do I have this beer, but I have one to give away.
Wow.
So we're going to have a giveaway on the show today. We're going to have a fast food contest. There's going to be a special quiz.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a multimedia quiz. Some of it's audio. Some of it's just trivia. And I think you can probably Google a lot of this stuff if you want to cheat. But if you want to be fair, that'll come a little later.
Brewer's Code.
Brewer's Code.
That's right.
Yeah, be honest. All right, kids? So let's have the beer.
Right on.
Okay, I'm using the special Duvel opener.
Because
this is a special Saison.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, there was a nice Saison carbonation sound to that.
Now, Saison's my favorite style.
It's really good. Yeah,
I've made
this time of year. It's hot. Today's a hot day.
Yeah.
Saison is perfect for those.
I've made no secret that Saison's my favorite.
Oh, I love Saison.
Let's get a nice pour.
Uh-huh.
For you.
Gracias.
Sí.
Obrigado.
Sí. Sí. Saison.
Saison. Bring on the Saison.
A little more.
Thank you. Yeah. Wow. What a beautiful color.
It is a perfect color. And it's got a little bit of residual yeast right there in the bottom of the bottle. That's a sign of quality right there. Let's get a nosy on it. We're going to get beer geeky here for a second for you non-beer people.
Yep.
Oh, fuck.
Citrusio.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, a lot of citrus in that.
It's all over that.
Beautiful, huh?
Oh, man. It smells. It smells like a...
There's a bouquet in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It smells like flowers.
Yeah, it's a citrus bouquet.
All right, enough smelling. Get to drinking.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, the contest has been terminated because Don's taking it home. Wow, this is good.
Whoa, my goodness. Wow.
Good job, guys.
Dude.
Fantastic.
Dude. Dude.
Mm. Wow.
Dude.
It's like a clove hit in that.
Wow.
That's so strong.
I am one note. Here's my review. Dude, space, dude.
Dude. Whoa.
My goodness.
This is awesome.
That is everything
it's fantastic.
It's everything I asked for in a Saison.
Yeah, it's so good.
Peter is freaking great, dude.
Yeah, no, this is a serious beer.
Peter was from Sacramento Brewing Company.
Okay.
And we went up there, it was last year, around this time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I tasted his beer, and he loves to make sour beer. But sour beer usually turns people off.
The general public. It's not what you would call a pedestrian beer.
Even people who drink beer, who are into craft beer, won't really generally like it. I mean, it's a special, you have to have a tongue for it.
Yeah.
This guy brews sour beers that everyone will like. I'll put it this way. I don't want to sound sexist, but he brews sour beers that chicks would love. Okay?
You know what's funny? I found that a lot of the... women out there do like the sour beers because it's not as like heavy on the beer. I mean, the beer taste, they're still there. You've got the hop taste, but that sourness almost gives it like a wine or a champagne characteristic or a cider where women really like that.
You think?
Yeah.
I didn't know anything like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like my brother's fiance. She's not a big beer drinker per se. She likes cider.
Right.
But
girls tend to go more to the fruity beers.
Exactly, exactly. But I turned her on to some of the lambics, and now she really likes them.
Really?
They have them in the fridge.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that Lindeman's happens to make some really good sour beers that they still retain that sweetness.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was up in Fort Collins about 3 weeks back, and happened to get into the New Belgium Brewing Company.
Right.
And they had some real funky stuff up there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good.
We've got the windows open here today. We're kind of almost in an outside space, so you might hear some cars driving by.
That's right. It's the ambiance.
An ambiance light location. Uh-huh. But anyway, Peter makes amazing beer, and he also makes children. He his daughter is so cute.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He makes good kids, too. I mean, the guy can make stuff, and he's cook. Yeah.
Sounds like the perfect trifecta.
Hey, listen, there's a pink elephant in the room. I figured we should talk about it.
Okay.
The egg recall.
Aha, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, it's big news. It's everywhere. It's on CNN. It's on ABC. It's usually it's leading the news.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. I mean, I don't even know what to say.
You know what the funny thing is? Is that the price of eggs now are going to go up because of the recall.
Yeah, but, I mean, people are going to shy away from buying eggs. Eggs are now going to get a bad rap, which is really unfair.
But it took, and just think how long it took them to get the good rap back from the big cholesterol square with eggs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, because that happened with pork, too. Remember how bad pork had to fight back? The pork council? The other white meat?
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Too bad. It's too bad. Well, you know what you do? You go to your local egg purveyor at your farmer's market, and you buy them there.
It turns out it's from, they had it down to one or two Iowa farms.
Two.
Yeah. Right, okay. And did you read the recall list? There are so many different names for these.
Yeah.
Because they're marketed under different names.
They're all over the United
States.
They're
everywhere.
They're everywhere. Yeah, but if you go to your local farmer's market and you get your local eggs, then you have a better chance.
We have local growers here. The only eggs I buy now are from Norco, and it's an organic farm.
Right.
It's not because I want to eat organic eggs.
Right.
They just happen to be organic.
Yeah.
They're brown eggs from Norco, and I know they're fresh.
They taste good, and the yolks are probably nice and orange.
Any of you... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They are, exactly. Yeah. Very
that's,
deep
that's
red.
What you want to see.
Any of you who didn't hear the recall or didn't hear the story, here it is from NBC.
The Centers for Disease Control now says hundreds and perhaps thousands of people have gotten sick from the bad eggs, which all seem to have come from one egg farm in Iowa. And as our own Tom Costello reports, a company with a troubled history.
It was at this family restaurant in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where one of the first clusters of salmonella was reported in June. Dozens sick, some hospitalized, and now lawsuits. The restaurant bought its eggs from the Iowa farm at the center of the investigation.
Your reputation, your business has been destroyed because of it, because of the product.
Late yesterday, the Wright County Egg Farm in Galt, Iowa, nearly doubled its egg recall to 380 million, with thousands potentially ill, according to health experts.
This is a large outbreak, and it's one of the largest outbreaks of this particular type of bacteria, Salmonella enteritidis, that we've seen in recent years.
The egg farm is owned by Austin Jack DeCoster, an industry giant who has had run-ins with state and federal investigators for years. The state of Iowa has sued DeCoster multiple times for water pollution and waste violations, and eventually classified him an habitual violator of state laws. In Maine, DeCoster's company was fined for federal health and safety violations in 1996 that the U.S. Labor Secretary described as sweatshop conditions. The company paid $2 million and admitted wrongdoing. In 2003, DeCoster pleaded guilty to knowingly hiring illegal immigrants.
This hen gasps for air as she slowly dies.
And then there's this undercover video shot by an animal rights group showing animal cruelty in Maine. 2 months ago, DeCoster's company paid a $130,000 fine to settle state charges, admitting the behavior was unacceptable. Today, Wright County Egg tells NBC News it continues to fully cooperate with the FDA, but food safety advocates are alarmed.
This is why we need a cop on the beat. A strong FDA with tough inspectors and tough enforcement authority and mandatory recall.
Yeah, the FDA doesn't yet have mandatory recall authority. This recall is a voluntary one. New national egg safety rules that went into effect in July are designed to eliminate the risk of salmonella contamination at the farm. Today, the FDA said if those rules had been in place last May, this outbreak might never have happened.
I tell you, if you're going to blame anybody, blame DeCoster.
Yeah, definitely.
The rat bastard. I mean, this guy, multiple times, he's been, you know, called on the carpet.
Exactly, yeah.
Sued by the state?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be kidding
just
me.
Just pushing the envelope all the time. You know, one foot in litigation.
I love how the FDA, you know, points their finger at him, though.
Yeah. Exactly. I like
they were doing their job. We'll point the finger at him.
Yeah. I like how the local news is saying, well, if you're going to be eating eggs, make sure you don't eat them sunny side up. Make sure you scramble them well. It's like, when I scramble an egg, it's like one click from being set.
Yeah, you know,
it's
right.
Pretty loose.
Well, they're saying, look, what are you going to do? Cook the egg for 20 minutes?
Exactly.
And here's the thing, and this is what kills me. The egg is a wonderful thing. And this is why I don't want it to get a bad rap. The Elements of Cooking by Michael Ruhlman.
Yep.
He wrote this essay.
Fantastic.
You know this book, right?
Oh, yeah.
He wrote this essay about the egg. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it's just amazing how reverent he is toward the egg. And I really began to appreciate this thing. My reverence for the egg borders on religious devotion. It's the perfect food, an inexpensive package, dense with nutrients, and exquisitely flavored, that's both easily and simply prepared, but is also capable of unmatched versatility in the kitchen. Yes, an egg is just an egg, but it's also an ingredient, a tool, an object, and a natural construction of near mystical proportions. The egg is both nutritious and inexpensive. The egg is delicious, served on its own. In combination with other ingredients, it can be even better. It adds flavor and richness to countless preparations, to others, texture and body. The egg is a versatile tool that transforms the consistencies of other ingredients. It can give liquid silkiness, turn oil into a sauce that has the luxurious, dense smoothness of a face cream, make chocolate fluffy and cream molten, turn a batter from liquid into a light, solid sponge.
Awesome.
It can be whole or separated. The white and the yolk behave with unique and powerful properties of their own, either raw or cooked, and when cooked, cooked to any number of degrees. Even its shell can be used. And as an aesthetic object, considered for its design, the egg is artful and, except for its propensity to roll off of counters, efficient.
That's great.
It's great.
Yeah.
The egg is a wonderful thing. People do not worry about this.
No.
The egg is fine.
It'll be fine.
Would this ever happen in Brazil?
No, probably not, because they don't have the big, farms.
Do you have an FDA in Brazil? I mean,
there is an FDA. There is an equivalent to an FDA.
And?
Yeah, and they would shut something like this down. I mean, I've never heard of any food recalls in Brazil.
Ever?
Never.
Hmm.
No, and the food there is really fresh, and it's farm to table.
Right.
For the most part. I mean, everything comes fairly local.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
Okay, so getting down to the brass tacks,
the nitty-gritty.
The nitty-gritty,
yes.
Of fast food.
Uh-huh.
Like I was talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
When we did Dude Night.
Yeah.
We would do these sound checks before the show started.
Right.
We'd all sit together. We would do three shows at once.
Yep.
One night we'd get together, so we didn't have to get together a lot.
Uh-huh.
We'd do three shows. It would last us, 6 weeks, 8 weeks sometimes.
Yeah, right? month and a half.
Yeah. So we do those. We do three, and then we get together a couple months later. We do three more.
Well, it was funny, though, is we would do three, and maybe two would get out because the third one we'd be so clocked.
Wasted.
That it just wouldn't work.
Or it takes some major editing to get it. Yeah.
Something that we had like an hour and a half worth of audio turned into a 20-minute show.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that brings back memories. Anyway, so before the show would start, I'd do the sound check. So I was trying to get us, because I was, not only one of the co-hosts, but I would try to, run the board. So I'd get our volumes together.
Yeah.
And you were always great, because I'd say, I want to check your volumes. Can you do me some tests? So Dom would pick up something like a piece of paper, he'd start reading, which is perfect, because I can adjust it and make sure it's right. And then I'd say, Gonzo, say something. And here's what Gonzo would do. Something. Test. Something. Something.
Something.
I'm like, fuck, I can't do anything with that.
Are we on now?
Are we on? Yeah. So it would suck. But you'd always talk. So last time I'm here, we're doing our sound checks.
Yeah.
And we started talking. And I just kept it going. I didn't know that it was still recording, but we were talking.
Uh-oh.
We were talking about something.
Uh-oh.
And I was a little shocked.
Yeah.
And I thought, I probably shouldn't play it because you didn't know you were being recorded. But I just have to ask you about this because it's about junk food. All right. And
okay.
I'm just a little taken aback, but I thought maybe you might want to address this. All right. So I'm going to play this for you. This is from before last show. Okay, so you had started telling me about this, then we got a little off track, and then I heard some of this story from somebody else, and I thought it was a rumor. Did you tell me that for a while there, whenever you would travel to North Carolina on business, that you and your business partner would stop off at Paula Deen's restaurant?
We did.
Okay, because I thought you guys were joking about going there.
Oh, serious. Every night.
Every night?
That's good. It's really cheap.
Dude, I know, but it's Paula Deen, man. I can't believe this. Why eat there of all places? I mean, did the fact that she likes to deep fry butter, did that attract you there?
No, it didn't. Because, I mean, I had a lot of other things that kind of drew me that way, but...
But you secretly love her food?
No.
You secretly love the Food Network?
No.
There wasn't any other place open?
No.
Dude, what is it? Do you find her attractive?
Uh-huh.
Seriously?
Sure.
I can't believe that you ate that crap that she cooks.
Fast food is good food. It really is. There's a reason why we love it, because it tastes good.
So that story I heard was true. You went there, you ordered the fried butter sandwich, you asked her for her autograph, and then she asked you back to your place and you guys made dinner together.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it came out great.
Dude, you are one twisted bastard.
Fuck you.
What?
Fuck you. Wow.
Oh, come on, man. You tapped that big fat Kentucky Fried ass,
oh,
didn't you?
Oh, yeah, baby. Smack, smack. That's unbelievable. You can basically have anybody say anything you want.
Listen, oh my God. Let this be a lesson to anybody who wants to come on My Life.
That's
with
right. Me. Yeah. Your nothing is sacred.
Your audio belongs to me.
That's right. You're mine, bitch.
We had another conversation. You wouldn't want to hear this one.
Oh, no. Please. I'm putting up the big C and it's not cancer. Oh, boy.
Paula Deen, huh?
Yeah, baby.
Hey, y'all.
Bring it on, y'all. Yeah, y'all.
Listen, fast food is true. We eat it. Now and again, we're going to have it.
Yep.
It's something that, you know, you're going to break down, you're going to have. Either whether you're craving it or you just, you know, you want to eat some shit.
Yep.
The question is, what do you have when you decide to have it? Because everyone's going to do it. David Chang, he said it best, and I've played this before, but listen, here's what David Chang had to say about junk food.
Okay.
What's your favorite thing you eat before you go to bed while you're a fucking drunk as shit? What are you going to say? Oxtail, fucking bone marrow bullshit. It's that fucking crappy ass piece of pizza that you ate and you don't even fucking remember that you ate. Usually it's like, wow, that's weird. I just vomited something this morning that I don't remember I ate.
True though.
Totally true.
It's always crap.
Yeah.
Domino's or God knows what.
Yeah. I'm a Der Wiener Schnitzel guy.
You do like Der Wiener Schnitzel?
When I'm got the buzz on.
Right.
That just kind of settles the stomach, sends me to bed, and I sleep like a rock.
I've got some drunk stories about Dwiener Schnitzel. We used to rock. We were at Greg's place, and we'd get way wasted on Lucky Lager or some other bullshit.
Yeah.
And we'd walk down to Dwiener Schnitzel, which was within walking distance, because God knows we weren't going to drive.
Yeah. Stumbling distance.
And we'd drink. I'd eat, like, chili dogs. I'd wake up in the morning with, like, chili stains on my shirt. I'm like, what the f***? Where'd that come from?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and, what is it, Jack in the Box tacos.
Joe, from My Last Bite.
Oh, really?
That's her secret pleasure, yeah. Ooh. The Jack in the Box tacos.
You know what, there's something about the flavor they put in that ground beef.
Right.
That little Mexican seasoning that they do.
Yeah.
And the sour
cream. Just enough cumin to set it off.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny.
So, what was it? You said when you're in that plane, when you're coming back into the U.S. from Brazil, there's something that you crave.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
In-N-Out.
In-N-Out.
In-N-Out is one.
One was Taco Bell.
And Taco Bell.
What was the thing from Taco Bell?
Crunchy Taco Supreme.
Crunchy Taco Supreme.
Crunchy Taco Supreme.
Nice.
That is it. Yeah. And it's a toss-up because both of them are on my way home. And they're both about in the same location. They're like right across the street from each other.
You can get them if you want them.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like my homecoming meal. Well, I'm too tired. I don't want to cook.
Well, we know.
I don't want to put anybody out to cook for
me. Right, of course.
And so the last thing I want to do is be a burden. I just want to relax. And yeah, that's the one.
It's evil. It's wrong. We know it's bad for us.
Uh-huh.
We're going to eat it anyway.
Yeah.
I'll tell you mine, In-N-Out. Absolutely. If I have my druthers, yeah. If anything, if I can cheat, I'm going to have In-N-Out.
Right.
Because it's just, I crave it.
Yeah.
Literally, I crave it.
There's a flavor to that that's really, really good.
And I know on the East Coast, they wonder what the hell we're talking about.
Right.
This is it.
Yeah.
Another one, Philly's Best.
Oh, you know what? I haven't had that in a long time. But yeah, that's a good one.
The guy's from Philadelphia, too.
Yeah.
So he imports all this stuff. Amorosa rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Or Amorose. I don't know what they're called. But they're from Philadelphia.
Yeah, a special bread and everything.
And the chips and the ginger beer, everything you can get in Philly.
Sure.
Imports all this stuff over from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, it's crappy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit, it's good.
Oh, yeah, that one with the onions and
with
mushrooms.
With.
Yeah, with.
Or as they say, witch.
Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't want to mince the words.
I can totally do that.
Yeah, that one's a good. Oh, it's a good one, too. But yeah, it's funny. I mean, it's that Taco Bell's.
Hey, listen.
Crunchy Taco Supreme, man.
I've been known to hit a KFC every now and again.
You know what? That's something I haven't had in a long time.
KFC, man. That secret recipe. Herbs and spices.
Something about. I guess I just don't see it, and there's not that many of them around anymore.
Yeah.
They're kind of hard to find.
Yeah.
And so when you're kind of in that. Kind of questionable state.
You're right. You know, KFC actually did diminish because anytime you see them, they're usually like combined with like a Taco Bell or something.
No, you know what I see?
Or Pizza Hut.
A&W. Yeah.
Now, those you don't see anymore either.
No, I've seen them, a KFC and an A&W combined. And if you're going to give me a choice between KFC and A&W,
yeah.
A&W.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the A&W.
Parts in a case, baby.
In freaking forever, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the truth of the matter is, no matter where you're eating, if you're eating any kind of ground beef, it's probably got some shit in it. And that's the bottom line. They say that the meat industry is highly regulated now. A lot more highly regulated than most industries.
Sure.
But there's still some poop in that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's why you got to take it up to 165.
Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. You cook the shit out of that stuff. There's still some poop in there. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I mean,
but at least it's been sterilized.
I want you to go to the market and grab one of those big giant tubes, right? That's like complete, like prepackaged meat, ground beef, right?
Yeah.
Look at it, and it'll say where it's from. The sources will be more than one. Normally, it's four. You'll have United States, Australia, someplace else, and maybe Mexico or Canada.
Wow.
All right, so they're from four different places.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
And the key here is that when these packaging companies get it, when they're going to make the patties, they're not allowed to test the meat that comes in from their place until all four of them are mixed together.
Really?
You know why? They don't want you to point fingers at who's got poop in their stuff. You don't know where to point the finger.
That's
once
funny.
You test it, it's go, oh, there's poop in here. So you know what they end up doing? They end up washing it with ammonia.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff now is washed with ammonia.
Sure.
So it keeps it clean. What that does is it kills the flavor of the beef.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happens.
Grind your own.
That's what you do.
And your own. If you're going to do it at home, take the effort.
You want the best burger? Yeah. You just nailed it right
grind
there.
Your own.
Grind your own. And buy it.
Get a little
shoulder
pork fat.
Shoulder
get a
and
little
fat.
Pork fat in there.
Yeah, throw that in there.
Grind that in there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Get it from the shoulder. Because the closer to the ass it is, the more trouble you're asking
that's
for.
That's right, yeah.
I love what Bourdain did to his daughter. Remember the story in Medium Raw? He said, and this is true. We have a contest coming up here on the show. I'm going to give away a bottle of Saison.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a little fast food contest to kind of test your knowledge of crap food. Anyway, in doing that, I did a lot of research on fast food companies.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the 60s and 70s, they marketed the hell out of kids. They still market to children.
Sure.
It's a lot lighter now than it was before because now they don't have to market to kids. Adults love it.
Oh, you know what's amazing? Get this. My daughter, okay, TV is on.
Sure.
And there'll be a commercial that comes up. And if it's like McDonald's or whatever that comes up,
yeah,
she just kind of brightens up and watches it.
Sure.
Yeah, she will check it out because it's like the sounds, the chirps, the lights, the flashing.
Right.
Whatever they do. That will get their attention, and they look at it, and then I'm sure there's a branding recognition.
They have always been good at marketing. Yeah. They hire the best advertising agencies.
Absolutely.
Always.
Absolutely.
So they do. They market to children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, in doing so, because he knows his daughter loves McDonald's, because listen, kids don't give a shit about grass-fed beef, pooping their stuff. They don't care about organic.
They want it to taste good.
It tastes good.
Daddy, this tastes good.
And it's yellow, and it's orange, and it's bright. And
bright colors.
There's a toy in it,
uh-huh.
And it's sweet.
Yeah.
I mean,
that clown thing kind of scares me.
I don't know, but you know, they don't know about John Wayne Gacy. You know, if they, listen, look, if Ronald McDonald looked more like John Wayne Gacy with a big knife in his hand, I don't think they'd be going to McDonald's.
Sure.
So he would do is he'd stand in front of his daughter's window and say, talk to his wife. He'd go, hey, listen, you know, they found another kid. Went into McDonald's, never came out alive. He took him to the Hamburglar's house out in the woods.
The propaganda.
They finally found the body. It had cooties on it.
Uh-huh.
I said, listen, okay, here's the deal. Kids don't know about, they don't care about grass-fed beef or french fries or fried.
But they know cooties.
They know cooties.
They know cooties.
Saturated fat, they could give a shit. That's right. But cooties?
Cooties, nah.
Yeah.
Daddy, no. Daddy, no. Cooties, nah, nah.
Next thing you know, no McDonald's.
Yeah.
So that works out. You know, it was funny. The last time you came on, Dan Patrick, I was playing Dan Patrick. I said, the more that we talk about food on this show, or the more we talk about sports on this show, the more they talk about food on theirs.
Right.
So get this.
We're talking about the Five Guys burgers. Everybody's upset. It's like, come on. It's a couple hours until lunchtime. That's not fair. Comparable to In-N-Out Burger? Because, first of all, White Castle. If I can get a suitcase full of White Castle and some beer on tap. Hello, that's a five-course meal for me.
12 hours later, though, it's not...
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Think about the moment, Paulie. I live in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're always putting off today till tomorrow. Well, one day tomorrow's not there, Paulie.
Thanks, man.
Okay. Yeah, In-N-Out Burger's pretty good.
Great.
Yeah, that's good stuff there. But I haven't done the Five Guys. You know why? Because there's so much hype. It's like when somebody says, oh, you got to see this movie. And then you go see the movie and you go, yeah, it's okay. Is that... Am I going to be disappointed?
Let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
About hyping out stuff. I mean, has that happened to you before? Where people have, like, hyped a restaurant to the point where when you got there and you had something,
Yeah, didn't quite fulfill the order. It didn't perform.
The best thing you can do is suggest something.
Exactly.
And say, listen, I think you might like this place.
Right. Yeah, say, I like it. It's good. I've noticed, you know, the menu's good. It changes a little bit.
Right.
The wait staff's good, blah, blah, blah. That's the way to go.
Because you did that to me once. Now, this place called Mirabu, that was down in Dana Point.
Oh, yeah.
You suggested it. You said, I think you'll like this place. You didn't say, you'll love this. You have to have this.
Right.
I think you'll like this place. And we went. It was a French bistro restaurant.
Right.
Best cassoulet I have ever had in my life.
Yeah. There's what they had a good one.
Yeah. That's the really messed up thing is that they closed down.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't by means of an economic issue.
No, not at all.
She just decided to take off.
Right.
Yeah, she just shut down and sold it to some like Asian fusion restaurant.
An absolute disservice, because I'm telling you, it was the best thing.
Fantastic.
Seriously.
Number one.
So, no, you didn't overhype it. And I think going in, knowing that it wasn't, you know, that I wasn't expecting something magical, and it happened that night.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, that was, oof. Yeah, I still have memories of that.
They did everything. Every French bistro dish, the things that we fell in love with French food that night.
Yeah. I'll tell you though, dude, you make a good cassoulet too.
Thank you.
You make a very good cassoulet.
This was something else.
You know, you get a French cook doing something like that, such a traditional French one pot meal.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to replicate.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and even here with the ingredients too, because I mean, I've had cassoulet before in Epernay, France.
Right.
And it was the best thing I've ever had in my life. It was unbelievable.
Right.
But here, I mean, she did a very good cassoulet. But again, the flavors of the meat and the sausage and things like that are just a little different. The seasonings that you think you can find, that you get close. So in her defense, it was very good.
And that's how you personalize it.
Yeah, yeah. But just like French wine.
Yeah.
French food in France there's just an added dimension.
That's what I'm worried about, because I got put in that position. I went in there, it was very good, but I was expecting like a religious experience.
Mm. When's the last time you went to a place to eat and you came away and you go, that's just unbelievable? Just the food, not, you know, the service, the environment, ambiance. It was just the food. Have you had a meal like that recently? Mine are usually when they're home, like my mother-in-law, Italian. I mean, forget about it. It's better. Forget about it. It's better than any meal I'm going to have at a restaurant. But I don't know if I've gone to a restaurant where I just go, God, that was an experience. A religious experience. Yeah, Paulie.
We went to one called Mike Anderson Seafood. It's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This is a bunch of years ago.
Yeah.
I think they're also in New Orleans. But Mike Anderson Seafood, I walked away. I wanted to go back the next day, but we were flying out of town. It was fantastic.
You know what? I do have a restaurant, Metropolitan Grill in Seattle. They had Copper River Salmon, And there's only a certain amount of time that you can get it. And it was during the NBA Finals with this, the Sonics were playing against the Bulls. And I went there. And they had some Red Hook on tap. And they had salmon.
You're tearing up.
Oh, God. I sat at the bar and I had, or I sat at a table and only a male servers there. I don't know what that means, but I threw that in there too, that it wasn't necessarily the ambiance, but the guy came over and said, you want to try the Copper River salmon? And I had two orders of it. Had one, I said, let me have that again. And he goes, another one? I said, yeah. I mean, I did feel bad of seeing this, you know, poor little salmon, you know, swimming upstream, and all of a sudden he's caught, and then I end up with him.
And his friend.
Yeah, I got his friend too. But the beer was good. It was just, man, it was great. Great food. Sometimes a steak place will do that to you. That you'll say, well, that was pretty good. But I'm thinking more. Yes, McLovin.
I just made a reservation for my two-year anniversary to Mario Batali's restaurant, Babbo, in New York. You ever been to that?
No.
You know Mario Batali. It's supposed to be the best Italian in the city is what I'm hearing.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of great Italian in the city and steakhouses in the city.
You know, Patrick brought up the thing about hamburgers.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if you want a good hamburger, don't get one overseas.
What do you mean?
They can't do it.
A hamburger?
Yeah, they F it up.
What, are they cooking on the grill?
Screwed up. No, man.
You know, it should be confit in a pan.
Ideally, that's like the best way to do it. Grilled burgers I've had that are good as well. But you know what? They make them too lean. They think that, you know, you're going to have a nice burger. It's like in Brazil. There's this one place. It's called Burger Bistro or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly the best hamburger in Sao Paulo. So I go there, try it out. And you know what? It wasn't that good. It was like mealy almost. It was just too dry.
Oh, really?
And then they put all these funky sauces on it.
They used too lean a meat.
Too lean a meat. Put some fat in there. You know, make it taste right. And they probably squish it down with the spatula to try to knock all the grease out. It's like, get your healthy burger. It's like, my ass. You know what? I want a burger that has a good amount of fat, and it should be able to stand up on its own. Ketchup. Mustard, maybe a little special sauce.
Not much else.
Something like that. Yeah, piece of cheese on there, and you're done.
Mm.
I don't even like produce on my burger, man. I want that thing, good bun, and a slice of cheese, and a little bit of condiment.
I think the biggest problem, the biggest mistake is putting a tomato on it. Because the whole shift thing happens with the tomato.
Exactly.
The tomato does not handle it very well.
Yeah, and then it's not like they've taken and cleaned out the pulp.
Right.
You have this big
watery mess.
Watery mess, exactly. And then it soaks the bun, and then it's ruined. It's ruined.
Man, that's amazing. I know exactly what you're saying.
But you know what? I mean, I've had a burger in Brazil, I've had a burger in France, I've had a burger in Germany, and they're disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, an American, all American hamburger, an In-N-Out burger.
That's a good hamburger.
A Baloo burger at Daniel's.
Daniel Baloo?
Yeah.
You had his burger?
Oh, yeah. I had one at the...
See, that's not a fast food burger, dude.
No, that was a really special burger.
That's the $6 gourmet burger from Carl's Jr.
Yeah, six times four. I had one at the Wynn.
I love how they try to fancy it up. Ooh, a $6 restaurant burger.
Exactly. Yeah. Man. No, I was so freaking tired from driving all day, and I went in that place and got into my hotel room and... First thing, I was like, I'm going to go downstairs and have me a burger.
Now you're talking.
And and they had beer, like good local beers. It was wonderful.
Nice.
Yep.
Hey, let's give away one of these bottles of Ordinato Saison.
Thank you.
Okay. Contest over.
Yes. Winner, chicken
We're
dinner.
Tie it in with the fast food theme that we've been going on. This beer is so freaking good that we're going to give one away to a lucky listener who just happens to know a lot about fast food. Okay, listen, now you can probably go ahead and Google the answers to a lot of these questions, but that would be cheating, and we wouldn't know that you did it, but you would know, and you would feel like you cheated everybody.
God will strike you down.
Down. So, here we go. Now listen, I'm going to ask these questions. I'm going to play some audio, a little mixed. Some of them are just questions. Some of it is actually audio that you have to answer the questions to. You don't answer.
I'm not saying a thing.
Don't say a thing.
I'm sitting back and enjoying my beer.
If you do answer, I'll have to cut it out. But you can answer if you want.
Nah, I'll just like raise my hand and scream something in the other direction.
Okay. In the 70s, which fast foods chain used the phrase, have it your way, in their commercials? What fast food chain ran this jingle in their ad? He had to get away from here. He says, I'm going to go out and get away.
Jesus!
Okay, what was the real name of the Taco Bell dog in their commercials?
Oh.
You know that one?
Yeah.
Ah, you're good. You've been eating too much of this crap. Okay, whose commercial is this?
People everywhere getting together with the great taste of conditionary food.
I backmasked some of that to give it away. Which fast food chain features a Crave case? You know that one?
What?
Which fast food chain features a Crave case? You don't know that one. Yeah. All right, so there's that.
There you go.
Okay. This chain has burgers called the Baconator, Big Classic, and the Double Stack. You know that one? You don't know that one.
I know that one.
All right. This offering from Taco Bell features a crunchy taco stuffed inside a flour tortilla slathered with beans and cheese. What is it called? No, it's not. McDonald's is not the only fast food chain trying to compete with Starbucks. Who is running this commercial?
Man, I love it. Has iced lattes now. So good.
Hey, I have a mustache.
Honey, you can only see it in sunlight. Don't worry about it. You have a mustache on you right now. Only now. No other times, just now.
Iced lattes. New at a creamy, icy indulgence in hazelnut, mocha, or caramel made with premium roast espresso. Because is your ultimate drink stop.
Do you know that one?
Yep.
Okay, you know that one. Where did Popeyes originate from?
That one I don't know.
Popeyes chicken.
Yeah.
All right? You don't know where that one. No. Okay. Harold and Kumar go to blank.
I know that one.
You know that one? All right. Which burger touts to have 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun? You know that one?
Good chance.
What's the special sauce very close to? You know that one?
No.
Okay. What movie is this from?
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back ribs. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back ribs.
Excuse me.
Chili, baby back ribs.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of fish is in the Filet-O-Fish from McDonald's? Do you know that one?
I'm refraining from comments.
All right, then. I should be numbering these. You go down in order. I'm going to have them numbered. In order, name the top 3 hamburger fast food chains in the United States based on number of locations. Did you know it?
I could guess.
Go ahead and guess. In 1984, this hamburger chain ran a commercial that started a worldwide phenomenon. Who ran this ad?
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
You get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Email your answers immediately to phil@myLifeAsAFoodie.com. First email with the correct answers to all these questions will get a bottle of Odonata Saison and a heart defibrillator. I'll be needing an address, too, kids.
Sweet.
Okay. So, MasterChef. You know about this show, MasterChef? It's on Fox.
I've seen it once.
It's pretty good. I got to tell you, it's a pretty decent show.
Really?
It's a show about, it basically encompasses people like us. People who are passionate about cooking,
right,
who don't do it for a living, mm-hmm, but would certainly love to.
Yeah.
Now, if you have read Medium Raw, yeah, which, you know, last time we talked, the most depressing part about that book was that anybody who's that passionate should think twice.
Yeah.
Especially if they're our age. I mean, we're in our 40s.
Right.
You know, we die in the kitchen. These kids run us ragged. our boss would be somebody way younger than us, mm-hmm. and you know, calling us a maggot and a cockroach.
Yeah,
you know, just not cool.
Right.
And so, I think it would be not something I would want in my life. I certainly love cooking, but I don't know that I could do something like this.
No, I don't think I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back into a kitchen.
No.
No way.
I mean, I did the dishwasher sous chef thing when I was like 16 years old, and I had the energy for it then. But even then, I didn't like it.
I worked on the line at TGI McFunsters. That's for right. 6 months.
TGI McFunsters?
Yeah.
Nice.
Then I got smart and moved up to the bar.
Where you got the women.
That's it.
Nice.
That's where the ladies at.
Well, they moved that show. The show was doing so well. Master Chef was doing so well. It was on Tuesdays. They moved it to Wednesdays to compete against Top Chef, which you have noticed I've not talked about on this show.
Wow.
It sucks. Top Chef this year
is a little light.
It's crap.
Yeah.
A little light. You're being nice.
Yeah.
It's horseshit.
You know what I noticed also that I don't really like about this season is that there's a kind of a gaming aspect that these people seem to be kind of playing as well.
Like Survivor.
Yeah. Or they're not really kind of holding against their cooking druthers. They're trying to kind of outwit, and that's not, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to fit.
No. Well, here's the introduction to the show.
Thousands upon thousands of talented amateur cooks lined up.
I'm an insurance salesman.
I'm an at-home mom.
To take part in the most intense culinary competition on Earth. As the smash hit from across the world comes to America, they'll compete to win $250,000. Sear their name in culinary history with a very own cookbook.
I'm ready to bring it.
Let's do it!
And become the first American ever to go from amateur cook to Master Chef. At every step of the competition, they'll be judged by three of the toughest figures from the culinary world.
I'm Graham Elliott from Chicago. At 27, I became America's youngest four-star chef. Believe me, I know a thing or two about cooking and eating.
My name is Joe Bastianich. I own 20 of America's best restaurants and 3 award-winning Italian wineries. I don't care if your roommate tells you you're a good cook, your kids, we're going to tell you how it really is.
And of course, there's me, Gordon Ramsay. I've been in the restaurant business for 20 years and have 28 restaurants worldwide. Now, I'm looking for the one person good enough to become America's first Master Chef.
This is such an honor that you're eating my food right now. I can't even tell you.
Let's go. They'll compete under extraordinary pressure.
20 minutes left, folks. Cook like your life depends on it.
So are you joking around? Because taking it serious, you would have seasoned the food.
No, I'm taking it very serious.
All while facing challenges designed to stretch their creativity. Your future will be determined on how well you cook just one stunning egg. Test their palates. Identify ingredients inside that pot.
Cumin.
Your guess is cumin.
And prove they can cook the meal of a lifetime.
Joe Bastianich's a prick. This guy is the bald Italian dude. He'll walk up to these people.
Right.
Who are cooking for their lives, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they're terrified.
Well, I would be too, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I'm trying to, you know what? It's really funny when I was watching that with my buddy. He was like, well, what would you cook? Like, you know what? I don't know.
I'm going to ask you that question.
Yeah.
After this next clip, I'm going to ask you that same question because I'm thinking about myself. What the hell would I cook?
Uh-huh.
You've only got an hour.
Yeah.
Right? But this guy, he'll taste it. Whatever it is that they're cooking, he'll taste it and he'll go like this. Let's stare at him.
Yeah, he just stares him down and walks away.
And walks away.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Tell me something. I just gave you my fucking soul.
I think I'd have to borrow one of my daughter's diapers for that show.
Dude, I wouldn't just be shitting my pants. I'd be shitting your pants.
This is a unique opportunity for one of you. You're going to be crowned the first ever American Master Chef. Yeah. Cook the dish of your life. Show us why you're here.
We've been doing this a lifetime. I've opened up some of the greatest Italian restaurants in this country. You have a unique opportunity to make the transition from home cook to master chef.
If you absolutely commit and let that passion show, you guys will make it. The main goal today is to win one of these, the Master Chef apron. Getting this means that you're going to be moving forward. And the way that you do that is to make a dish that is delicious and amazing in 1 hour.
Listen. Okay, so if you were going to enter...
Yeah.
You have an hour.
Yep.
Signature dish. What would you cook?
Well, I guess the question is, within that hour, do you have to prepare all your mise?
No, I think you can do a lot of mise beforehand.
Okay, so you're basically assembling and cooking.
For the most part. Okay. I mean, you got to make it look like you made the dish. I mean, you do a lot of all the prep before.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can dice your onions, you can cut your tomatoes, all the meats. You can get all that ready.
Yeah.
So basically, you have everything in your bowls ready to go.
Right.
And then you start cooking.
And you cook it.
Okay. If I did that, you know what? I'd probably end up doing either paella.
See, you make great paella. I was thinking your paella had to be the deal.
Yeah.
Can you do that in an hour?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, if you have your mise all complete, you're done 45 minutes max.
Okay.
Yeah, you can really knock it out, especially if you have a good even temperature cooking surface. That one, or I do a damn good chicken and morels.
Yeah, that was a good dish.
Yeah. That one's really good, too. That one I like. The chicken morels with the wine sauce is really tasty. So those two are something that I know I can knock out in 30 to 45 minutes. It tastes good. It appeals to a wide range of people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think I finally figured out the whole rice thing on the paella to get it to a point where I think everybody seems to like it.
I don't think
it.
You ever didn't have it figured out.
It was a little over al dente at one point, but I think I've kind of got that down.
More chicken stock?
Good. Yeah. Just boil it out a little longer. Okay. So that'd be mine. What's yours?
I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know. I mean, thinking, you know, I like my bean stews and stuff, but those things
take... Yeah, that Portuguese bean stew.
They take forever.
Yeah.
They take forever to do.
How much can you do before you start?
Right. I couldn't do my version of beef bourguignon. First of all, it's not even my dish. I don't know, dude. I mean, chicken parmesan, they've had a shitload of that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have Joe Bastianich chasing my chicken parmesan and looking at me, staring at me.
The hairy eyeball.
Dude, I would roll over that freaking thing and beat the shit out of it. That's what I'd do. If you stared at me like that.
Talk to me, damn it!
I could care less. Mm-hmm. I'm beating your ass. No, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't want to make anything soulless like poke tacos or some bullshit that I do.
Hey, you know what? That's not soulless.
It is kind of soulless.
It's not. That has a lot of character to it.
Character, not soul. They're looking for something to change their life. They're looking for something that really, like this guy who just made this dish.
Yeah.
No, that's, I don't know.
No, I think your poke tacos would be a good hit.
So you have some poke tacos.
I'm all for it.
I'll tell you what I would do, and I would do well, exactly what this guy did that he completely, absolutely failed at, and I'll talk about more of that in a minute.
Our first contestant, Chris, is in high spirits thanks to his signature ingredient, beer.
I'm cooking for beer cheese soup for you. Yes, I said beer cheese soup. It's going to be so good.
Ooh. Look at here. I got some beer, I got some cheese, and I'm going to make a soup.
Now, look a here, no.
Look a here. I got beer, I got cheese, and I'm going to make a soup.
What is that, the Rooster Cogburn?
Something
Cogburn?
I don't know. It's all over the
place. No,
man.
I said, look a here, boy.
Look a here, boy.
Now,
boy.
I got me some soup over here.
Yeah. Hey, boy.
Nah.
Here, I got some soup. I got some beer. I got some cheese.
Now, look a here. He's a step and fetch it at beer cooking.
Cheese and beer pair so well together that it's a gimme.
Will it be the secret to success, or will he be the first to have his dreams smashed?
Afternoon, Chef.
How are you?
Hi.
First name is?
Chris.
Chris, from where?
I'm originally from Houston, Texas.
What are you cooking for us?
I brought beer cheese soup.
Beer cheese soup.
I put a lot of beer in my foods. I love to cook with beer. I saute shallots, green onions, garlic, and celery. Flour and butter.
Then beer.
Then beer. Add some cream, and then add the grated cheese. Let it just melt right in, and boom.
What's your fascination with beer? Everything sounds like it's doused in beer.
I love craft beer. I really do. There are some really amazing chefs that are cooking with beer. I mean, cooking with wine, everybody knows people do that. It's common. Everybody does it. Cooking with beer, it's like, I don't know. It sounds kind of funny. I don't know about that.
It might work. Let's taste it. We'll see what it is. But, I mean, I am not opposed to using a good beer to make a good soup. You know, I think there's definitely things that you can improve on that, but I would have no problem sitting down and eating a bowl of that.
It's a bad dish. You know it. I know it. All right, Chef, what do you think?
What do I think? That has to be the most disgusting soup I've ever tasted in my entire life.
Definitely not. Sorry. I'm guilty pleasure.
Say it.
But yes.
No. Thank you.
Leave that beer here.
Are you crazy? You'd be dead if you ate a bowl of that.
Dude, you would be dead. You can't eat a bowl of that. Come on.
Fat man wants the stoner food.
You know, he might like to cook with beer, but he's no Sean Paxton.
No, he's not. I was just thinking that when I was listening to it. I was like, okay, I've been told to cook with beer. I'd be on the text.
Yeah,
Sean.
I'd be texting
help me,
Sean
dude.
Paxton.
Help me, dude. Come on. Bring Listen, something on.
You're going to ask about cooking with beer. You go to Sean Paxton.
Yeah.
And he's the homebrew chef.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I'll tell you something, though. I make a beer cheese soup, and it's very good. This guy fucked it all up. I don't know what kind of cheese he used. Probably some funky shit.
Yeah.
And then he put Stone Righteous, that righteous ale, that black IPA.
Oh, no.
So it looked like Mexican sewer water.
That's so bad.
It probably tasted similar.
That's probably terrible. Yeah.
The one I had, we had at Wincoop. I was with Greg at the GABF. Mm-hmm. We were going to try to find some place that was open for breakfast.
Yeah.
And we couldn't find anything. We walked all over the city in Denver, and we found Wincoop that opened at 10 o'clock, and we ended up going there for breakfast at a brewery.
Wow.
And we ordered a sampler. And the sampler came, and actually, we ordered two samplers. He'll have a sampler. I'll have one.
Right.
The guy comes to our table and goes, listen, there's a regulation about how many glasses you can have on the table, so we're going to bring you one sampler, and then we'll bring you the other one after you finish. I'm like, how many fucking beers do you have? 25 samplers.
That's unbelievable.
3-ounce samplers, 25 of them.
Wow.
Yeah. And then so with it, I ordered the soup, and they wouldn't give me the recipe, so I kind of made it myself.
Sure.
And it's Gorgonzola.
Yeah.
And pale ale and leeks and potatoes. So it's kind of like Vichyssoise with cheese and beer.
Wow.
Dude, it's great.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's not this crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this guy.
Breaking apart. Big clumps in it.
Oh.
I mean, I can just imagine Gordon. I mean, I love the guy. I think Gordon Ramsay is absolutely awesome. I mean,
he's
he has
awesome.
Done such a good job of marketing himself.
Absolutely.
He is a first-class chef.
Multiple stars.
Multiple Michelin stars.
Yes.
So the guy knows his crap, man. He can get this stuff down.
Sure.
You know, and the bottom line is he can cook.
Can Mike, a server from California, be the first to win an apron and make his brothers proud?
What I'm going to do is cook a pan-seared duck breast with a little orange miso sauce.
Excited to be here for Michael. He's put everything on the line for this, and to me, I admire it.
Let's do it!
First name?
Michael.
How old are you, Michael?
I'm 34 years old.
What are you going to cook for us?
I'm cooking a pan-seared duck breast. It's called duck sam.
Grand Marnier?
Grand Marnier, yes, sir.
You're flambéing the pan?
I love it. Beautiful.
And I'm burning off the alcohol. I'm going to add a little bit of fresh tangerine or tangelo.
He moves with such speed.
Actually, I'm stirring a little bit of... This is a very classic Korean-style samjang. It's basically a soybean paste.
He moves like a chef.
Fine.
Put it up.
This is such an honor that you're eating my food right now. I can't even tell you.
The textures are mind-blowing. They're absolutely phenomenal. The balance is unique. You move like a chef, and clearly, you cook like a chef.
Wow.
Well done.
Thank you so much. Oh, my.
That is like sex in your mouth in the best possible way. The acidity, the brightness, the spice, the miso actually really works. The food is phenomenal.
I'm going to do this the way it should be done, all right? Beautiful balance.
Unbelievable. Right, Joe? Yes or no?
This guy's the man, 100% yes.
100%.
Yeah, Graham, for sure. Best thing we've had today.
Absolute brilliant. Well done.
Oh!
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Get that on there.
Thank you. Give me... Thank you.
Get on there. Come with me. Yeah! This is exactly what we're looking for. I hope you watched him cook, because that has been the best dish so far. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chef.
Unbelievable.
Well, these guys put it on the line, man.
Yeah.
They put themselves on the line. And it takes a lot of, you know, you got to have your ego in check to withstand that kind of rejection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, it just think how critical they're going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay? Critical?
They're ball breakers.
You're shitting me.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that they went up against Top Chef and beat the shit out of it. I mean, seriously, they're like, on the Nielsen ratings, I think they were 16th last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. I'll have to check it out.
Check it out. Master Chef Wednesdays on Fox.
Cool.
Andrew Zimmern was on Nightline. Did you hear that?
No.
Andrew Zimmern comes on Nightline. He does his whole thing. And he says his big revelation was the fact that when he was a chef, he was on drugs. He did a lot of drugs. What chef didn't do a lot of drugs?
And the list continues to grow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right.
It's like saying, you know, you're a musician and you did drugs.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty much the case. Yeah. A production company contacted me a couple months ago and they asked me if I knew any chefs that would be interested in doing this show that they were going to do. It was a reality show on chefs who had been through the ringer, had been through drug problems, who had gone to prison or who had had, you know, troubled pasts, and that wanted to mentor kids who had troubled pasts who wanted to become chefs. And I thought to myself, well, no. First of all the chefs that I know are now established, married, successful for the most part.
Yeah.
And what chef didn't have that problem?
Well, you know what's really interesting, though, if you think about it? A lot of people in our generation, the ones that are kind of the seasoned chefs, the older guys there,
right?
That was somewhat of a drug generation. I mean, I know that through peers that I had, I mean, I wasn't a drug user, but I knew many people that were.
Sure, yes. Not
even, and they weren't chefs. They weren't rock stars.
Hey, look, like,
but they did it.
Right.
And it was what it is. But I don't know if this generation, this last role of chefs that are coming through are like that.
You don't think they do drugs?
You know what? I don't
There's
know.
There's a girl on Top Chef right now who says that she was a recovering user. That cute girl who's on Top Chef. I don't remember her name.
I don't know either. Yeah, I'm not watching enough of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just, you know, I don't think it's as prevalent as it was.
Right.
Definitely. Because these guys take it serious now. They do.
Take the gloves off, man, that we used drugs back then, back in college and high school and stuff. Yeah. We used drugs. And we weren't experimenting. We were using drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it happened. But we didn't, like, you know, complete.
Right.
We didn't turn shitheads into ourselves.
Fall off the deep end.
Anyway, if any of you guys missed the Nightline piece, here it is.
Gracias.
It takes guts to eat with Andrew Zimmern.
Do I want to know what it was?
Probably not.
Because there's a good chance guts are just what you're eating, among other things.
Eyes, lips, cheeks, ears, tongue, neck. It's so much better when you don't say it while I'm eating it.
But in truth, the minced eyes, ears, and lips are mild compared to some of the fare Zimmern has been known to sample.
The fact that I've had 60 or 70 different types of animal penis and testicle actually in my mouth at one time is a huge amusement to many people. To me, you know, I'm just curious. I hope someday to find one that's really good. But size does matter. The bigger ones cook better and end up having better flavor.
That's a lot of cock.
Woo!
I don't think I'd fess up to that one.
A lot of cock in your mouth.
Whoopa.
I wish I were mature enough to sit here without laughing, but I'm not.
Me too. Chalk it up to the hazards of one of the strangest jobs on planet Earth. Andrew Zimmern is the host of Bizarre Foods on the Travel Channel.
How many countries have you been to?
80.
How many rats have you eaten?
15 different types.
How many parts of a cow have you eaten?
Every one of them.
Including the bile sac, which he had in Thailand.
Yeah.
Wow.
And?
Raw blood out of a cow. I mean, we literally nicked a cow's artery, filled a jug, took mud and feces, rubbed it in its neck to stop the bleeding, and then drank the jug in the field with these Tanzanian warriors. That's what they drink before they go to work.
It's a big pick-me-up.
Huge. Very good for you.
You're serious about this, right?
Yes.
All right.
But there is a real message behind the bile, bugs, bats, and blood he puts into his system every week.
The sour milk and the fresh blood is a very nice combination.
He likes to say one man's weird is another man's wonderful.
Don't practice contempt prior to investigation. We balk at things that we know nothing about. We assume that we won't like what's in that pot of stew simply because of the way it smells or the look of the guy who made it or the poverty that is surrounding the room that it's in.
He might be considered something of a culinary anthropologist.
When I'm in a market or with a tribe or with a family and they say, well, we do have metal and glass for you to eat, it's like, I say, why do you eat that? And if they have a good cultural reason, well, all of our ancestors did. And I'm like, well, let me try it. The food is a vehicle that allows us to tell the stories of the people.
I've always considered the eyeball a delicacy. Squeeze some lime and then suck on it.
And of course, right. It makes for good TV.
That's fantastic.
The hook is the freak show element.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a freak show with a purpose.
A freak show with a purpose. I'll take that.
Oh.
It's obvious that this freak show with a purpose has a huge following. Walking through the Maxwell Street Market in Chicago with Zimmern was like taking a stroll with a big, bald Elvis.
We love your show. Good show.
Thanks. Whatever you eat, I mean, what, we gonna get some fried roaches?
They taste just like soft-shell crabs. It's incredible.
The show has earned him many nicknames around the world, including...
Chambovaca is the one that I love, and apparently it's a term of endearment that means he who eats like a pig and like a cow. But it's meant in a really nice way, like it's respectful. You know, he's a Chambovaca, he's a real man.
A real man who introduced me to tongue tacos.
Usually we peel the taste buds.
But it didn't measure up to the soup called menudo.
Menudo? Ricky Martin?
Which includes cow shin, foot, stomach, and...
That's a little piece of the intestinal wall.
All right. Cheers. So,
yeah, absolutely. You're a good man for trying this.
It's the best intestine I've ever had.
Honestly, I was faking it.
Is this stomach here?
Yeah.
Something even Zimmern does occasionally, too.
You don't always like it, do you?
No. I'm a normal eater just like anybody else.
You are not a normal eater just like anybody else.
Absolutely, I am. Absolutely am.
Because normal people don't eat bile.
And regular viewers of the program know if I love something, I look at the camera and I say, this is the best donut hole I've ever eaten. And if I don't like something, I look at the coffee and I say, this is very interesting. Thank you.
After 3 years on the job and goodness knows what in his mouth, Zimmern says he has never gotten sick.
So the whole kitchen sink is in their lungs, heart, liver.
Is this what you wanted to do when you were growing up?
Kind of.
You said, I want to be a guy who eats weird stuff?
I begged my parents to let me work nights during the summer in restaurants. I didn't want to do landscaping like the other kids.
But his journey in the culinary arts took a dark turn. A serious drug addiction.
I lived in an abandoned building in Lower Manhattan, one that we squatted. I would steal purses off the backs of chairs on those swanky little cafes in Madison Avenue, get on the subway, go downtown to the Lower East Side, and sell the credit cards and passports that were in the purses for money to support my drug and alcohol habit. And I was the guy who crossed the street to avoid.
He was only saved, he says, after friends put him on a plane to the Hazleton Clinic in Minnesota. That was 1982. He's been sober ever since.
How much of a role in your life does that period now play?
The largest. I don't know how to phrase it any other way. Every decision that I make, everything that I do, every single consideration of my day goes through the prism of what my former experience has been.
He stayed in Minnesota working as a chef and food writer before coming up with the idea for Bizarre Foods.
What won't you eat?
Human beings.
Though he is willing to make one exception. Oh,
yeah. My goal for the very last episode of Bizarre Foods, if we ever get there, I would like my hand, just baste a little barbecue sauce on it and just fade to black as it's going up to my mouth.
And then you would turn to the camera and say, that's a good hand.
That is a good hand.
So we're in the middle of talking about this, and he tells me, dude, I found the best pho place. I'm like, what?
Yeah, doink.
Where is it?
It's in Garden Grove.
Where?
It's in Garden Grove.
Westminster, you
Westminster
said.
Garden Grove. It's basically in Little Saigon.
Because that's where all the good stuff is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's $7 a bowl. It's fantastic. You get chicken or beef.
Foga or foba?
Foba or foga. All yeah. Right. They have a big pile of mint, jalapenos. The sprouts and everything you want to throw in it,
yeah.
And they have a little dipping sauce you can like dip your meat in. I just pour it
it's
right
like,
in.
It's like being in Vietnam.
Oh yeah.
When did you go there?
Yesterday.
By yourself?
No. Me and my buddy Bob.
Is your Bob your friend Bob? Is he like Asian?
Yes, he is.
So there you go.
That's right. Yeah, so, he goes down there and gets his hair cut. And I told him yesterday, we were today. Yesterday was like a screw off day.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, we just decided it was a day not to work.
Right.
So I mean, we started out.
God, where, I'd love to have a day like that.
It was a really great. And, but the best thing is, it's like in the middle of the week, so that there's no traffic anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what was it? Breakfast was we went down to Laguna Beach and had breakfast on the beach, and then we walked around. Because the surf was up really good, and we went to Rock Piles, which is this nice little surf break that's north of Main Beach, and didn't go out because it was pretty tall, so I just wanted to watch.
Sure.
Okay, so we went and checked because it out.
Saw sometimes we just want to watch.
Yeah, sometimes it's fun to watch. I like to watch. So we just checked them out, and then after that, I said, dude, let's go out for lunch. Let's find some lunch. And so what are you craving? I said, yeah, let's go have pho. So we piled into the car, headed up to Garden Grove, which is about 15-20 minutes away.
Hey, let me check here. Hold on a second. Nope, you didn't call at all yesterday.
I knew you were working.
Really?
I didn't want to deter from your day of productivity. So we went and hit that.
Sucks.
So get this.
You
went
suck.
There.
Dude, you suck.
I know. I'm sorry. So we went there, had a awesome lunch of pho, some grilled meats, cane juice. After that, we went down to Blackie's by the sea in Newport Beach and drank beer and watched all the girls walking by in the bikinis.
Oh, dude, come on, man.
We did that for like 3 hours watching Monster Truck on the television and watching girls go by.
Why don't you just like cut a hole in me and pour alcohol in it?
Next time, Ben, I promise.
Dick.
You're in.
Here's the key. If you happen to know Don and want to be a friend of his, don't have a job.
What? We all have jobs.
I know, but you seem to make your job work around your schedule of having fun.
Well, you know what? It's amazing what you can do with a BlackBerry.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah.
I need one of those jobs.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Guys, can we focus, please? One squid for table 5 and one for 1A.
All my life, I walk in the fine dining room with a white jacket, with a tuck, and be very serious.
My dad had a really good time.
Now I don't take myself seriously anymore. When I created this concept, it was really try to do a restaurant not too expensive.
It's a raw beef with noodles.
Well, Ludo Bites is what has been defined as a pop-up restaurant. We go into restaurants that only have a breakfast and lunch service, and then we go in and create a dinner service at that location for a limited period of time. Ludo Bites started the first time in 2007 kind of as an accident. We were looking for a restaurant to buy for Ludo. He was frustrated. He hadn't cooked in about 6 months.
I realized to do a restaurant was so expensive.
We had no idea if anybody was going to come. The great thing was it was a limited event, so there's no way it could be a failure because there was always an end date. But by the time we finished, the L.A. Weekly Food Critic had said that it was easier to get into the UCLA Film School than it was to get into Ludo Bites. The last round of reservations sold out in less than an hour, and that was with rebooting the system twice.
Now, the best thing, call between...
All the time, people for reservation. People fight for reservations.
I call it a pairing of two businesses in a troubled economy. For us, we don't have to invest, you know, $500,000 to $1 million to open a restaurant. We have a fully equipped restaurant.
I don't deal with any problem. I pay my rent, and when somebody broke, I say, Mike, can you fix the fridge? It's not working. It's cool.
I mean, we're not getting rich by any stretch of the imagination. We're profitable on a daily basis, which is great, and I don't think that there's many restaurants out there who can say that. When everything comes down to it, Ludo is so passionate about the food.
You need to put more crumble and basil, okay?
We focus about the food and bring people together.
Crumble, quick!
I'm so concerned about the customer experience from the guest experience side, and Ludo's so concerned from the food experience that we just try to make it like they're in our home. I don't think Ludo Bites will ever become permanent. I think Ludo Bites will always be the traveling food circus.
So yeah, Ludo is going to be actually be at the OC Foodie Fest.
Oh yeah,
which
this weekend.
Is coming this weekend.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And you're going to go.
Yes,
I'm not going to go.
That's right.
No, I'm going to be in Seattle.
I'm going to have the pleasure of accompanying your wife.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I'll be a gentleman. I promise.
Thank you. Yes. I know I can trust you.
That's right. She's driving, right?
She is driving.
Good.
She will be your DD.
Right on. I like that. I'll ride my bike over.
Yeah. Lots of wine. Debbie Lee from Anjou and Soul Town Tapas.
Mm.
She's going to be there. Ludo's cool. going to be there. Lots of chefs are going to be there.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. Yeah, a lot of interesting people are going to be there.
And I'm going to miss it.
Yeah.
The one time Orange County gets a really decent food fest, I'm missing it.
And you're heading to Seattle. Well, that's not a bad alternative.
No, I'm looking forward to seeing Joe and Charles and hanging out there. We're going to meet James Oseland from Savoir Magazine.
Okay.
Morgan Spurlock, who did Super Size Me.
Yeah.
He's going to be there. He's going to be there on Friday.
Right.
He's going to be the spokesman there. Listen, I hope we didn't inundate you with too much audio, too much material. But it's been a while since we've done a show, and I wanted to make sure we batched up. I want to thank Odonata for offering their beer.
Fantastic
beer. An absolutely fantastic
Wonderful
beer.
Beer.
Still just a little bit left here. Yeah. I want to tap this.
Cheers to you.
Don't forget to join the My Life as a Foodie Facebook group. If you're not already, follow us on Twitter, right? Because we're on Twitter, too. I don't think there's any way you can actually be on Twitter and make it sound masculine.
Impossible.
Yeah, seriously.
No.
Like I tweeted you, I twat. And yeah, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, seriously, think about this, dude. Like if I said to you, like, I'm going to do the most manly thing possible.
Right.
Like, hey, Jim, I tweeted you about the shotgun. Did you get my tweet? It still sounds,
Jim, did you get my tweet?
No, that's not right.
Now there's anything wrong with it.
No, not at all. No. So I just wear a dress while I'm doing it.
That's right.
Thanks to CNN, NBC, ABC, Fox, Fox Searchlight for all the audio clips. Did I miss any networks?
ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox.
We played a lot of audio.
Yeah, really.
If there's a chance I'm going to get sued, it's going to happen this week.
It's today.
Music in this episode by Breaking Benjamin. If you like the song, you can buy it in the iTunes store or from their website, shallowbay.com. Not sure what the hell that's about. MyLifeIsAFoodie.com. I've got links to everything. You can check it all out. Hey, listen, until next time, my name is Phil. This has been My Life as a Foodie, and I'll see you next time.
Ciao. I am done pretending.